Hello, and welcome to PubCasts, an ongoing project to experiment with science communication and making research more accessible and digestible to both scientific and general audiences. PubCasts are audiobook-style recordings of peer-reviewed scientific research read to you by the authors. I'm your host today, Dr. Hannah Harrison. This series is hosted by the Conservation of Change Lab and the Coastal Roots Project. Coastal Roots is a project led by Dr. Philip Waring and myself, and connects research and storytelling about success and novel adaptations to change in coastal communities in Canada and beyond. You can learn more about Coastal Roots by visiting www.coastalroots.org and check back in with us regularly to listen to new episodes of our podcast and paper recordings monthly. Pubcasts are inspired by a passion for podcasts, demystifying science, and the power of the human voice. Our goal is to give you, the listener, a new way to connect with research, and just as importantly, the researcher. These recordings will focus on trying to communicate a published research article in an engaging and convenient way, and I will sometimes stop to explain a concept, give a short anecdote about the research experience, or to emphasize a main point. Our hope is that this format will give researchers and academics a new way to engage with the literature, and for the non-academics out there, a way to hear about new science in a more interesting and digestible way. To keep things straightforward, you won't hear the in-text citations, long acronyms, or other details that make wading through a paper more challenging. But like all peer-reviewed research, this work stands on the shoulders of researchers who came before. So I strongly encourage you to visit the paper online and see the full reference list, as well as to enjoy the tables and figures that help explain many of the important findings of this work. And of course, we would love to hear your feedback. If you'd like, please tweet your comments, questions, or suggestions to us. You can find our Twitter information and email in the online details of this episode. Today's paper is entitled Alternative Seafood Networks During COVID-19, Implications for Resilience and Sustainability, written by Joshua S. Stoll, Hannah L. Harrison, Emily D'Souza, Deborah Calloway, Melissa Collier, Kelly Harrell, Buck Jones, Jordan Kasslinger, Emma Kramer, Steve Curian, Alan Lovewell, Sonia Strobel, Tracy Sylvester, Brett Tolley, Andrea Tomlinson, Easton R. White, Talia Young, and Philip A. Loring. This paper was published in Frontiers in Sustainable Food Systems in March of 2021. You can read the full text and see the affiliations and other details about the authors at the Frontiers website. So let's get started. Introduction. Seafood is among the most traded food commodities in the world. In 2018, 38% of the global fish supply was exported at a value of $164 billion. Multiple factors are contributing to the continued growth and globalization of the seafood system, including neoliberal trade policies that incentivize export of seafood and advancements in technological capacity that enable wide distribution of highly perishable products. The expansion of seafood trade has resulted in a range of socioeconomic benefits, including increased employment opportunity and food security. However, it also makes the seafood system more vulnerable to systemic shocks that disrupt the flow of product and the livelihoods that depend on it. Take, for example, the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008, which resulted in an estimated 7% decline in seafood exports worldwide, including a 9% decline in the United States and Canada. A decade later, the seafood system again faces a systemic shock, but this time it's due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Shocks like this are becoming an increasingly common feature of food systems, including those associated with seafood, a trend that can be expected to continue given the challenges presented by climate change and increased globalization of food systems. Such disturbances will continue to have major implications for the well-being of the 60 million people worldwide who are directly employed by fisheries and aquaculture, as well as those who are employed in processing, distribution, sales, and those who depend on seafood for nutrition. As such, systemic shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic provide an important opportunity to study food system resilience and learn from segments of it that exhibit shock tolerance. By food system resilience, what we mean here is the capacity over time of a food system and its units at multiple levels to provide sufficient, appropriate, and accessible food to all in the face of various and even unforeseen disturbances. Section 2. Alternative seafood networks contribute to systemic resilience. As seafood systems become increasingly globalized, more product than ever is flowing out and away from the places where it was caught or farmed. However, during systemic shocks, food systems, including those associated with seafood, can experience something called deadlock, where segments of the supply chain are unable to function because other segments of the supply chain are not operating, and these segments cannot function because still other segments are not operating. So kind of a chain reaction there. Such paralysis, even if it's only temporary, can have serious socioeconomic implications. For example, an estimated 40% of survey participants in a study conducted in 7 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean reported being without food during the COVID-19 lockdown. Similar studies have found similar types of findings in places like the United States. Local and regional seafood systems are not immune to shocks, including but not limited to those caused by extreme weather events and anthropogenic catastrophes. Further, these place-based systems are not really fully decoupled from global seafood systems. Nevertheless, key distinctions between them exist in terms of their relationship and geographic orientation to consumers. In particular, what local and regional seafood systems lack in their overall geographic reach and total market potential, they make up for in their direct connection and proximity to consumers. This relational orientation between harvesters and consumers sets local and regional food systems apart from their global counterparts. As these local systems are not fully dependent on long or complex supply chains, the physical and social connectedness associated with them may also help to insulate local and regional seafood systems from the deadlock caused by systemic global shocks. We therefore propose that there is likely an inverse yet complementary relationship between local and global seafood systems during periods of systemic shock. Specifically, we predict that during these periods of systemic shock, we can expect to see a short-term relocalizing phenomenon unfold, one which contributes important systemic resilience to seafood systems at large. To explore this dynamic, we draw on data from the United States and Canada during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. COVID-19 impacted seafood trade by altering consumer behavior in China, the largest importer of seafood worldwide. The impacts of COVID-19 subsequently propagated then worldwide. Social distancing and other public health measures immediately altered consumer behavior, with the restaurant and food services sector being hit particularly hard. Nearly all segments of the seafood system were impacted in some way by COVID-19, and examples can include things like delayed fishing seasons, outbreaks in processing plants, and depressed prices due to reduced global demand for product. The focus of this research that we're talking about today is on a segment of the seafood system called alternative seafood networks, also called ASNs. Alternative seafood networks refer to a range of kind of boat-to-fork seafood distribution models that contribute to a local and regional seafood system. Like alternative food networks in the agriculture sector, which emerged in response to problems in terrestrial food systems, ASNs aim to address perceived economic, social, and environmental issues associated with the global seafood system, including but not limited to concerns about overfishing, industrialization, privatization, and the disappearance of small-scale and community-based fishing operations. In this paper, we use the term ASN broadly to describe individual and collective efforts by fishers and fishing families to use relational seafood supply chains to distribute their catch directly to consumers. Alternative seafood networks exist worldwide and were identified as a quote-unquote bright spot in both high and low-income countries during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. If you're unfamiliar with the bright spot terminology, you can find a handful of references here on page 3 that will help explain that further. In this paper, we present multiple lines of quantitative and qualitative evidence to show that ASNs experienced a short-term pandemic bump in both the United States and Canada in the wake of supply chain distributions and government-mandated social protections. We then analyze the factors that enabled ASNs to be resilient during the early months of the pandemic and discuss the implications that has for seafood systems. We frame our analysis of ASNs around the concept of systemic resilience, which describes the ability of actors in a complex system to effectively respond and recover from shock and surprise. Importantly to our discussion, response diversity, flexibility, social capital, and learning are among the primary system properties known to confer systemic resilience. Systemic resilience also operates at multiple levels. People may draw resilience from larger social networks or the state, and they may also, through their actions, contribute resilience to those higher levels. In this case, we are interested particularly in the individual and structural circumstances that enabled or inhibited our local agents or fishermen and their ability to adapt to the new societal and supply chain challenges created by COVID-19. Our findings here have important implications both for how we understand the role of heterogeneity in food systems, particularly with respect to the scale and organization of production and distribution of food, as well as for policy options for enhancing the systemic resilience of seafood systems moving forward. The next section here is the methods, and I'm not going to read through the methods for you. You can find all of that information on page 4 of the article, but I will just summarize by saying that we analyzed these alternative seafood networks using 3 quantitative data sets: Google search terms, Safegraph traffic, and website analytics of those who participated in the study, as well as qualitative methods, which were drawn from interviews that we collected over the course of the first few months of COVID-19. One thing I do want to touch upon, though, is the co-authorship strategy of this paper. You'll note that the author list is quite long, and many of the people who participated in the authorship of this paper are ASN practitioners. And we did this to acknowledge the different but many complementary ways in which researchers and practitioners create and disseminate knowledge. And so authorship on this manuscript was based on intellectual contribution rather than the particular tasks that each author might have typically created or completed for the research, like writing, revising, etc. Our team includes 14 individuals who are involved in ASNs in a professional capacity, including 2 that have a dual role in academia, as well as 4 researchers that do not have any financial interest in ASNs. By assembling this mixed authorship team, we wanted to acknowledge the important role that practitioners often play in enabling research and create space for those with grounded experiences to confirm their lived experiences by being represented appropriately in this work. I'll move on now to the results, which begin at the top of page 5. Alternative seafood networks during systemic shock. Our research suggests that in the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a rapid increase in demand for local and directly sourced seafood in the United States and Canada at a time where many other segments of the broader food system were disrupted. This finding is supported by multiple lines of quantitative and qualitative evidence. We found that Google searches for terms related to local and direct seafood distribution surged in the beginning of March 2020. This pandemic bump is reflected in Google searches for terms related to local food systems more broadly, such as local food or community-supported agriculture. These results are consistent with website analytics data across the United States and Canada. Across a geographically distributed but non-random subset of ASNs, a total of 8, we found no year-over-year difference in ASN website traffic in January or February of 2020 compared to the previous year. However, corresponding with the implementation of government-ordered health measures related to COVID-19, such as lockdowns, there is a large mean year-over-year increase in March, April, May, and June of 2020. This pattern is observed across all 8 of the alternative seafood networks across geographic regions, scales, and types included in this study. Safegraph foot traffic data provides modest evidence that ASNs did not decline as rapidly as conventional fish and seafood markets during those early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. The mean number of people visiting approximately 3,000 fish and seafood markets in the United States decreased by 30% in 2020 as COVID cases started to increase, although this, of course, does vary by state. There was some recovery noted in mid-April, but overall foot traffic never reached levels seen in the previous year. Interview data with ASN operators further corroborates our findings. A total of 48 interviews was conducted with 16 ASN operators, and in total, 15 of those 16 ASNs reported a major increase in demand for their products through both in-person and online outlets. Although ASN operators are optimistic that demand for local and directly sourced seafood will be sustained, some interviewees did report a decline in that initial pandemic bump in demand as early as June and July as retail locations began to reopen more broadly in the United States and Canada. As I noted before, that is the bulk of the results section, but here we have quite a number of figures that really help to illustrate some of the themes that we're talking about, as well as some quotations in the text from our qualitative data. I haven't read those to you here for the sake of brevity, but I do encourage you to look at pages 5 and 6 of this article to really get the full scope of our results. Moving on to the next section, resilience of ASNs during systemic shock. Research participants identified multiple drivers and determinants of their resilience and ability to adapt their business practices during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. Generally, these fell into two categories: structural factors and response diversity. And let's define that for a moment. Structural factors describe the fixed or hard-to-change features of society, such as infrastructure or policy, that create vulnerabilities to impacts and path dependence as people mount their responses to change and surprise. Response diversity, on the other hand, describes the breadth of existing and new strategies that people mount in response to some challenge, which is, as we are going to discuss later, influenced by a variety of factors at the individual and societal level. Now, as I go into describing that more, I do want to encourage you to look on page 7, where figure 5 is. And this is a really excellent figure that shows the structural and response factors that supported or hindered ASN resilience during the pandemic. So with response to structural factors, study participants identified many circumstances that support or reduce resilience, such as having access to diverse supply chain configurations, diversified fishing portfolios containing multiple species and fishing seasons. Participants also identified specific circumstances that inhibited or made more difficult their efforts to adapt to the pandemic-induced challenges, such as limited options to transport seafood products, closed or restricted fishing seasons, a lack of processing infrastructure and freezer space, or a lack of well-established online retail systems and brands. One structural challenge to ASN's resilience was a decline in the restaurant sector due to the pandemic, of course, as everything was closing. Though ASN's reported a significant increase in demand from individual consumers, adapting to serve those markets did come at a cost. To remain in business, ASN's were forced to pivot their consumer base away from restaurant-based markets and other retail outlets that they had typically used, such as farmers markets. And these closures created an overall decline in demand and a drop in price, resulting in the closure or delay of some fisheries. In some places, it also caused a loss of processing capacity when large processors temporarily closed due to a lack of product to manage and to process. Other structural resilience challenges arose due to price uncertainty from large-scale processors, to whom many ASNs did sell the excess of their catch, though the rising demand from new individual consumers acted as a buffer for some ASN models. Processing capacity and availability, either within the ASN or through a larger commercial processor, became tenuous as processing spaces closed their doors or limited their intake. And this was a really big challenge for small ASNs who had no privately owned processing space. In that same vein, accessing appropriate retail space, such as docks or other physical locations that allowed for social distancing and sanitation measures, was also really critical for ASNs to be able to maintain their sales. Alternative seafood network operators also identified a physical infrastructure and available workforce as critical to their ability to adapt to new buying and selling strategies and to keep their workforce and consumers safe and rapidly scale their business model in response to that increasing demand we talked about. ASN operators also noted the absence of physical infrastructures, such as those I mentioned earlier, as a hindrance to resilience. Difficulty in finding local employees and working around COVID-19 distancing and health safety concerns were significant challenges that limited ASN ability to adapt to new production and sales conditions. Some ASN operators identified the lack of access to fishing grounds or feeling unsafe to travel to their fishing grounds as a big problem. Those who could access the fishing grounds identified geographic access to markets as a challenge in remote areas where fishers faced increased logistical barriers in getting their product to markets when transportation and travel became restricted. Secondary to challenges of access were challenges around maintaining a steady supply of product, particularly for those ASN harvesters who were unable to return to their harvesting grounds or who missed important fishing seasons or openers. Here, ASNs often relied upon those aforementioned strong social networks between harvesters to maintain their seafood supply chains. Turning now to response diversity, we found that factors at the individual and societal level influenced the range of options that ASN operators were able to mobilize in response to the pandemic. Participants described drawing extensively upon social networks and their own personal psychological resilience to get through the early months of the pandemic. inter-harvester relationships and relationships to higher level organizations such as fishery co-ops were cited by many participants as being essential in their ability to distribute their catch and stay in business. These relationships were also viewed by many as being important for facilitating new markets. For example, ASN harvesters who lived far away from the fishing grounds in the off-season were able to develop new markets in places that were otherwise not served by their fishery. Respondents also described the positive social and psychological impacts of their relationships with consumers and highlighted the opportunity for face-to-face interactions, especially during COVID-19, where such interactions, of course, had become such a limited part of our daily lives. This emphasis on relationships is closely coupled with the underlying philosophies that shape ASNs and was key to informing how they operated during the pandemic. For example, ASNs often prioritize sustainable food systems, human and community health, and well-being alongside profitability. These topics are often tightly coupled, but during the early months of the pandemic, ASNs grappled with the trade-offs between the need to provide seafood and the risks associated with contracting or spreading the virus, particularly to rural or remote fishing communities. Setting appropriate price points and managing consumers' fears and anxiety about committing to a subscription or a share-based model during times of economic uncertainty was also a challenge for ASNs. Alternative Seafood Network owners reported being oriented around providing high-quality seafood products for reasonable prices, but faced declining disposable income in their consumer bases as people struggled with financial security during the pandemic. Respondents also identified relationships to place as being important in both developing new markets and selling place-based products. For example, ASN harvesters who live far away from the fishing grounds in the off-season were able to develop new markets in places that were otherwise not served by their fishery. Their personal connection to their home area and their fishery was important in connecting consumers to the value and origin of the product. Harvesters also reported feelings of satisfaction through connecting with their consumers and sharing with them a nutritionally and emotionally valuable food product. This factor linked closely to ASNs having core underlying philosophies that informed their business decisions and offered flexibility in considering what an ASN should achieve and how a sustainable business model should look during a pandemic. For example, prioritizing sustainable food systems and human and community health and well-being alongside profitability. Conversely, social and emotional tolls from the uncertainty of the COVID-19 pandemic's impact on their fisheries and markets hindered many ASNs with worries about risks and responsibilities of contracting or spreading the virus, particularly to remote and rural fishing communities. Likewise, many study participants discussed their own willingness to be flexible, such as moving their operations online, as well as having online marketing platforms and presences in the first place, both essential to accommodating social distancing requirements and accessing new consumers. Okay, so now we're in the last section of the results here, called Strengthening Alternative Seafood Networks. Alternative seafood network operators identified several key barriers to ASN development and growth, notably a lack of appropriate infrastructure such as docks or other unloading areas, reliable postal services, or seafood processing locations. Others identified challenging regulatory environments that make it difficult to obtain appropriate permits, licenses, or other permissions required to direct market seafood to local consumers or retailers. Underlying these challenges was also a reported lack of state or provincial or federal recognition of ASNs and small-scale fisheries and the role they provide to local food security. Here on page 9, we actually provide a table that gives a synthesis of policy changes that could be used to address the challenges that are described in this section, and you can find that under Table 1. So now we get to the discussion on page 9. Our research provides evidence of a temporary relocalization in the seafood system during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic, in which demand for local and directly sourced seafood spiked abruptly. This finding is consistent with recent studies that find evidence that fishers shifted to local and direct sales as a key adaptation strategy during the early months of the pandemic. To date, ASNs have been described as an important strategy for small and mid-sized seafood operations to build firm-level resilience. However, the relative shock tolerance that ASNs exhibited during the COVID-19 pandemic also suggests that they may contribute to the systemic resilience of the broader seafood economy. That is, ASN participants may be uniquely capable of mobilizing the necessary response diversity that allows producers and consumers to circumvent supply chain deadlocks during times of stress. Indeed, it is worth noting here that the pattern of relocalization during shocks that we document in this paper is not a new phenomenon. We can see similar examples from early World War I, when the Canadian Ministry of Agriculture encouraged citizens to establish victory gardens, or as part of the tactical strategy to increase food sovereignty and win the war. We can also note more contemporary examples of this. For example, it's been observed that the global financial crisis of 2007-2008 played a critical role in catalyzing local food distribution in Southern Europe. At that same time, the iconic lobster fishery in Maine, which had previously been becoming progressively more globalized, pivoted their efforts toward local and domestic seafood distribution. This same pattern of food systems localization has also been reported to us anecdotally from multiple Latin American locales during the pandemic. Within indigenous contexts, local pivots in fisheries may also open the door to indigenous self-determination and food sovereignty through small-scale artisanal fisheries in North America. Some of the drivers and determinants of resilience observed here match with findings from other research, including the importance of existing infrastructure, experience with alternative fisheries and marketing strategies, and a willingness to be flexible on the part of the individual operator. Particularly noteworthy, we believe, is the apparent role of psychological resilience and agency at the individual level, such as fishers' commitment to fishing and to core values for fishing, in supporting the continued function of the seafood system at higher levels. This is an important contribution to how we understand the role of individual coping and well-being in the resilience of fisheries and the larger social ecological systems in which they are embedded. Resilience at the individual level has been discussed previously, but largely in terms of people's ability to cope and maintain their own well-being during crisis. Here, we have an example of individuals contributing positive resilience, that is, the ability to not just bounce back, but also bounce forward in a way that is transferring resilience to higher levels in regional food systems and the seafood sector at large. Past research has previously hypothesized that the aquaculture sector could add resilience to the global seafood system by increasing the diversity of fish species and production locales. While we are unaware of any studies that have tested their hypothesis for aquaculture or any other subsector of the seafood industry, here we present findings that suggest ASNs may contribute to the systemic resilience of the global seafood system. In part, they do so by adding diversity to the production systems and supply chains and allowing fishers to circumvent deadlocks in global supply chains by moving product through local markets. We also find that individual agency plays an important role, agency that is empowered by fishers' psychological resilience and commitment to the unique sets of values around fisheries that ASNs embody, values such as fair access and simple supply chains. This suggests that when considering how to improve global seafood systems moving forward, it is insufficient to look at diversification in production and supply chains without looking at the system of values that motivate the actors making and participating in those changes. Further research is, of course, needed to understand how ASNs are able to persist over time in the face of ongoing and future crises. Alternative seafood network operators identified a number of structural and response factors that, depending on their local context, helped or hindered their resilience to impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as possible policy options that could address some obstacles to resilience. Those policy opportunities were directed toward physical, social, socioeconomic, economic, and regulatory infrastructure. Prioritizing investment at multiple levels to develop and support existing local-level seafood infrastructure could provide appropriate locations and capacity for ASNs to scale their operations to meet demand and seasonal abundance. Similarly, respondents identified that excessive regulatory red tape was often challenging and expensive to navigate, creating disincentives for some seafood harvesters to seek out appropriate permissions to direct market their products. Alternative seafood network operators identified that streamlining and simplifying direct market permissions, such as permits and licenses and what have you, and the process by which they are obtained would make this process more accessible to a wider variety of seafood producers and bring direct marketing of seafood in line with the more streamlined processes that exist for the direct sale of land-based agricultural products. To conclude here, we acknowledge that to more fully understand the role that ASNs play in the broader seafood system, better data on the sector are critically needed. At present, there is no national level data in either the United States nor Canada to describe the number of ASNs, their geographic distribution, or their total socioeconomic contribution. However, sales associated with local and regional types of agricultural distribution in the United States alone are estimated at to be $9 billion. Addressing this data gap is not beyond the realm of possibility, as parallel data for the agricultural sector has been collected since 1976 in the United States. Such data are critical, though, to further understanding the role of ASNs in shock tolerance and the importance of functional diversity in supply chains, as demonstrated during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thanks for listening to this episode of PubCasts. Today's episode was a reading of Alternative Seafood Networks During COVID-19, Implications for Resilience and Sustainability. The authors of this paper are Joshua Stoll, Hannah Harrison, Emily D'Souza, Deborah Calloway, Melissa Collier, Kelly Harrell, Buck Jones, Jordan Kasslinger, Emma Kramer, Steve Kurian, Alan Lovewell, Sonia Strobel, Tracy Sylvester, Brett Tolley, Andrea Tomlinson, Easton R. White, Talia Young, and Philip A. Loring. This article was published in Frontiers in Sustainable Food Systems in March of 2021. To hear more PubCasts, visit the Coastal Roots Project website at www.coastalroots.org.